me. I'd like to read today from Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all nations.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 18. Hymn number 18. Now thank we all our God. Hymn number 18. And let's stand as we sing together. Number 18.
Father, we come before thee this morning with humbleness and gratefulness, thankfulness. Lord, we recognize you as our sovereign ruler. And Lord, we're thankful for your love for us, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, as we gather today to worship thee, we pray for each one of us here that we have a heart of worship. A heart to seek out after knowledge, spiritual understanding. And Lord, as we sing songs of praises and the message being sent from Pastor Gossman, we pray, Lord, that we honor thee. And Lord, we pray that we please thee today with our worship. And now we ask all things through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. May be seated.
I want to welcome you this morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship service here at Morrow Bible Church. I'm glad to see each of you here. Thank you for coming today, and trust that you will be able to honor and worship the Lord as you are here today. We do want to welcome anybody who's joining us on our live stream or recordings. So let's all say good morning and God bless you to them, okay? So on the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Good morning and God bless you. So welcome you folks, and we'd like to hear you say that to us somehow, but there's no mic on your end, but thank you for joining us. For our announcements this morning, tonight is a special night. Encourage you to come out tonight at 6:30. That's our usual evening service time, but we'll be meeting in the foyer. We'll start off with a dinner, and it'll be served by the Pilgrims and Indians. Some of our children and young people are going to be serving. They're going to be the Pilgrims and Indians. And so around Thanksgiving time, we always like to remember the first Thanksgiving there with the Pilgrims. Of course, they invited the Indians too. And so that's at 6:30 tonight. So you don't have to have a reservation or anything. Just go ahead and come. And we would like to do that. We need to have some people to be served. All right. So just encourage you to come out. We'll have a time of praise and testimony following the meal, so be prepared for that as well. Prayer meeting this week at 7 p.m., so we are planning to have a prayer meeting this week. And then Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving, and I hope you all have a good time with family and friends. You know, this is kind of the start of the holiday season here, so hope you have a good Thanksgiving. Looking ahead to December the 4th, Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, the ladies are invited for fellowship together, and they're going to work on some decorations for the church building here for Christmas. So ladies, take note of that. And then December 17th is the day that we're planning on Christmas caroling, and that'll be in the evening, Friday evening, planning to meet here at the church, go out and carol, come back for hot chocolate and snacks here at the church. The thank offering this year is going to be put towards the replacement of the foyer furnace. The approximate cost is $4,000. And so a thank offering is something we do each year just to have another expression of thanks to the Lord. So I encourage you to pray about that, what the Lord would have you to give towards that. And if you'd like to give, you can use the offering box, designate that gift with an envelope, or clearly mark it some way for the thank offering. And so encourage you about that. Then for the Thanksgiving testimonies, after the dinner tonight, just encourage you to prepare a testimony of thanks. It doesn't have to be long, but we will take time for that. And again, the children, if they would like, there's the worksheet. It's on the table there, so pick one of those up. Or the adults, if you want to use that, it might help you to think of something. We do have a couple pre-recorded testimonies that are going to be shared tonight. And there's still time. If anyone would like to just record one, can't be there, we can do that as well. So let me know. All right. I think that's all the announcements. So let's take our hymnals again and turn to number 54. Hymn number 54, For the Beauty of the Earth. Number 54. Let's sing this together. Thank you.
please stand for a scripture reading. Turn to 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 through 15. Please stand. We'll read responsibly and together on the last. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brother.
Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people.
Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wondrous works.
Glory be in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually.
Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth.
All together on verse 15. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Maybe seek.
Let's bow our heads as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we come before you today to honor you and worship you. And we recognize that you are a God that is much far above us. You're a God of wisdom. We honor you today for your power, your almighty power. We know that you are the invisible God, immortal God. And we are here today to remind ourselves of who you are, what you've done. We thank you for, most of all, our salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can approach you today. Even though you are an exalted God, we have access to you through our Savior because of his work for us. And Father, we come as your servants, as needy people. Lord, we need your direction. We need your wisdom. We need your word. And we pray that we would be ready to receive it this morning. Father, we pray for those in our congregation who are sick, those that are infirm and weak. Lord, we pray for your help and your hand to be upon them and to help them. We pray for those who are traveling today. We pray for your hand of protection to be upon them. And we pray, Lord, for those who need your special comfort today, those that have lost loved ones recently. We pray for your comfort. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us today and encourage us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we have come today to honor you with our thanks, our testimonies, and we acknowledge this season here is one that we can especially partake in as Christians, as we know you through Jesus Christ, and we can offer up sincere and true worship to you. And so, Lord, help us, especially today in this season, to give thanks to you. Lord, we come with our offerings today. We do so out of worship to you, to honor you, to show that we value you and what you have done. And so we pray that you would accept these gifts. We pray that you would bless our thank offering as it is given today and in coming weeks perhaps. We pray that that would be an expression of our thanks in our hearts as well. Lord, we lift up our missionaries today. We thank you for the part that we have with them, and we pray for their protection. We pray that you would watch over them. We pray that the gospel would go forth. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage them in their ministries and help them to go forward. Lord, we pray for our own mission field here. Lord, we know this is a needy place, and we pray that you would use each one of us and our personal contacts and our neighbors and friends and family. Give us boldness to speak of you and to speak of the gospel. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work convicting men of sin and of their need to believe on you. Even do that here in our midst, we pray. Lord, we lift up our authorities today. We think of our country, and we pray for our President, Joe Biden. We ask that you would direct him. Thank you that you are sovereign over our country. But we do pray that our authorities would be led to make right decisions. And we pray that they would be led to the truth. Lord, we know that the truth is available in your word all across our country. And so we pray especially that these authorities would come into contact with your word and with the gospel. And we pray, Lord, for our state authorities here and our local leaders and authorities. We pray that you would protect them and guide them. We pray for our military and our law enforcement especially, and we know that they are under attack today. And so we pray that you would help them and strengthen them, help them to look to you and to lean upon you in their ministry that they perform. Lord, we are thankful for what you have done, for who you are, and help us, Lord, to be focused on you today as we worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 40. Hymn number 40. Count your blessings. Hymn number 40. Let's all turn there to number 40. That's the wrong number. Sorry. What is the number for count your blessings? 370. Number 370. Sorry about that. 370. Let's all stand as we sing. Count your blessings. Number 370.
seated.
All right, we're going to sing another song here. And my girls are going to sing part of this. And you all are going to sing the other part of it. All right? So take your hymnals and turn to 526. Come, you thankful people, come. My girls are going to sing the first two verses. And then on the third verse, I'm going to ask all of you to join in and sing the third and the fourth verses of Come, You Thankful People, Come. This is a great Thanksgiving hymn. And the author is Henry Alford. He was an Englishman. And he also wrote a great commentary on the New Testament. Alford's commentary on the New Testament, still used today. It's a good commentary. And he was a Church of England minister, actually. And he also wrote this hymn. He wrote other poems as well. But Come, You Thankful People, Come is an invitation to give thanks. And then you also notice in these stanzas that Alford writes about the harvest. And he writes about how the whole world is a harvest field. And God is the farmer who's going to come and reap that harvest. And so especially on those last two verses that you all are going to sing, we have that thought about God coming for the harvest. And so you all are going to sing that. And then after that, Pastor Gossman is going to come and bring the message this morning. So I've asked him to do that. And so we'll have that after our song here. Thank you.
Pastor Howard reminded me of my high school days in our high school choir. Our choir director would play from the piano and direct us from the piano until we would do a performance, and then he would have a pianist come, and then he would do his thing there, but he directed from the piano. But that reminds me, too, of the great heritage that we have in our country, and how I think when I sing some of these songs, and even in our Sunday school class this morning, one of the verses was that of immortal, invisible, God only wise. And I remember in my public school, high school, singing those hymns, and even as an ensemble when we would sing in various places, singing those. I never really come to appreciate the depth of my choir director until in these days, and realize that what a blessing it was back in those days. And you know, as we go and look back into our past and the heritage that we have as Christians, what a blessing it is. And as we think of this Thanksgiving, I think of back when the pilgrims left England, and it was in 1920. That's why I spoke up that. He was giving us a quiz. Some of those things I didn't know. I happen to know that one. But it was in 1920 when they, 1620 when they left 1920. Here we go. 1620 when they left England. And then it was in that September of 1920. But you know, before they left, they gathered together for prayer. Once they arrived here in America, the first thing they did was stopped and had prayer. As you know the story, they lost better than around half of those 102 people that came here across on the Mayflower. But that next year, because of the graciousness of God, His providing for them, that next year, when it came to the time of harvest, they had the blessing of really having what was really the first Thanksgiving festival, back in 1607, it's recorded that some of those in Virginia had individual services of Thanksgiving, but here with the pilgrims as they came and they celebrated that, and as one of the pilgrims gave an account of that time, he says, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men fowling, bird hunting, so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. They four in one day killed as much fowl as served the company almost a week. Many of the Indians came amongst us, and their greatest king," and I don't know if I can pronounce this right, some of you could, Macerus, "with 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer which they brought. And although it being not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are far from want." And what a they had a Thanksgiving festival at that time. In 1789, following a proclamation issued by President George Washington, America celebrated its first day of thanksgiving to God under its new constitution. And there were a number of individual states that celebrated the thanksgiving, but it was not really until the time of Abraham Lincoln that there was he set aside the last Thursday of November as a national day of thanksgiving. Now that was a proclamation that was evidently given every year by the presidents, but there was a woman that wanted it to be permanently established as the fourth Thursday of November, and it was in 1863 that President Lincoln made a proclamation of that. Interesting of Abraham Lincoln, it is said that this happened at a pivotal point in his life during the first week of July of that year. Whatever that was, it got me. After the Battle of Gettysburg has occurred, resulting in 60,000 American lives being lost. It says that while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves there at Gettysburg, that he committed his life to Christ. And as he explained to a friend, "When I've left Springfield to become the president, I asked people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ." So it's interesting that at the time that President Lincoln came to Christ was when he made that. It was at that time of his life that proclamation was made. We have a great heritage in our country, tremendous Christian heritage. As we come and we celebrate Thanksgiving, we're at a crucial time in our country even now. I just saw on the news yesterday that we have some on the very far left that are seeking to want it changed, that it be called a day of mourning. How sad can it be? We have left our heritage of Thanksgiving. We're in the process of that, and certainly how we pray that these that have such ideas, that those ideas would be defeated. May we always give thanks unto our God. Thanks to God is an attitude of the heart that is to be continually fostered in the believer. It is that which is to be there at all times throughout all situations. I'd like us to look at some of the aspects of giving thanks here unto our God. And first of all, we need to give thanks for all things. We need to give thanks for all things. You know, all things that we have come from God. We just have been given the use of them by Him. They're loaned to us, I guess we could say. What we have, all things that we have, has come from God. I think of the verse in Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17 that says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." When we realize that everything that we have, it's come from God. and it all belongs to Him. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Yes, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It all belongs to Him. That's why we say it's just loaned to us. And how we are to give thanks unto God for all things. Ephesians 5:20. I'm sorry that this morning the message, I can't just say turn to one passage, because this is one of those messages where we have to go into a number of various passages. But it's a blessing to have opportunity to give a topical message such as this. But in Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this year seems to be a year of a bountiful harvest, at least in this area of our state, and it's a blessing that we see the harvest that we have, and we see what God has provided, but what if this wasn't a year of a bountiful harvest? What if this was a year where we didn't have the rain, we didn't have the weather, and we didn't have that. What about even in the times of trials? In 2 Corinthians 4:15, this is a passage that the apostle. He was speaking to the Corinthians in a time when there was persecution, when there were trials and problems. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God." He's talking about their trials. He says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. He said, but that as you give thanks unto your God in the midst of trials and problems, that be used in the lives of many to the glory of God. Can we give thanks to God for all things? That's something that's not easy to do. You know, I had to think about that when, you know, we got a note from the Ettingers this year. Who had been a part of our church here some time back, when they had a house fire. And they described that some and the loss that was there. And really, in obedience to this passage of Scripture, he wrote in that they give thanks to God, not understanding why. And that's the way it is with trials. We don't always understand why, but even through the trials and problems and the taking away of things, we're to give thanks to God. Now, that's where it becomes hard. It's not hard to give thanks to God today when we have those things that we need and we are getting along fine. And well, thanks, Lord. But we're to give thanks to God for all things. I believe we can give thanks to God by giving Him His due. We give thanks to the Lord by giving Him His due. You know, when the the first place in the scripture where it talked about tithes was back with Abraham. Back when these five kings got together, they come in and there was a pilfering and a taking away of the substance and the wives and the children of the men. And remember how Abraham went out, and Abraham brought back those captives and the substance, and overcame those five wicked kings. Melchizedek came and brought to Abraham tithes. It says there in Genesis 14:18-20, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand.' And he gave him tithes of all." The principle of the tithe that is later on, we see it prescribed in the law. We see it there prescribed in the law that God gave to Moses. We see it, and we see it also then here in the New Testament when the believers come together and we are to bring our offerings together. We are to give unto the Lord, and we'll see as I go on from a heart of thanksgiving. We're not under the law today, but I believe that the tithe is just giving part of all, first of all, God his due. When in the book of Malachi, when Israel was not giving unto the Lord as they ought, he says, and he told them that they were robbing God. And he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, 'Wherein have we robbed thee?'" And he says, "In tithes and offerings." An indication there that this is what belongs to God. When men don't love and thank God, they don't tithe willingly from the heart. And we'll see the heart as we go on further. But thanks to God by giving him his due. You know, we're to love the Lord our God, what? With all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. God wants to be first in our lives. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We tend to want to do to the Lord what is left. But the Lord says to seek him first. I think of the widow in Luke 21:2, when there were those that were coming and putting their offerings into the box, and there come a widow that came, and it said she put in 2 mites. And the Lord said this to those that were around him: "Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury or of her poorness hath cast in all the living that she had. What a statement of one. And how could she do that? How could she give that? There must have been a tremendous thanks unto God for her to be able to give such a thing. We think of Mary's anointing of the Lord when the disciples started by Judas, who was a thief in his heart, but the disciples, they said, why was this given when they saw this very expensive this spikenard, which was a very expensive spice? They said it was worth what in our time would be a day's wait, or excuse me, a year's wages. It was like it would have been her whole savings that this woman gave there to anoint the Lord with. That seems to come under the category of putting the Lord first. Putting the Lord first. I think of the Lord's Day. It's a creation principle that we would have. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. You know, in our heritage as a Christian nation, how we have lost that. How we have lost that. You know, it used to be that the stores weren't open on Sunday because we had a law against it. There were the blue laws that we had. It was part of, I believe, of our Christian heritage as a nation. I'm afraid even in our Christian homes, that's something that is lost. But this is part of giving the Lord His due. He says, 6 days you should labor and do your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath unto the Lord. The Lord gave some principles of that for the Israelites and how that should be done and how that. In times of crisis, the principle of the ox that was in the pit, you take care of that. There's certain things that have to be done. But it's a principle that we would give unto the Lord that which is His due. And you know that the Lord gave a promise and to Israel and of course that under the law. But He says to them this in Isaiah, if you will turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to rule upon to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed there among the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The great promises that the Lord gave here to His people Israel keeping that. He said, when I read that, I see that's what... I visit people. Sometimes we go door to door invite them out to church. And that's the only day that I have. This is, you know, I need this day for myself, they would say. And some other reasons as well. But But it's something that is lost. That this is, we really owe this unto the Lord to give Him that day. That's a principle from creation that was given to us, and certainly in the New Testament, our New Testament practice today, as we're under grace, we saw that they met the first day of the week. They brought their offerings together on that first day. In Hebrews, not to be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We find so many folks around us that have left that principle completely. As we look at the due that we give to God, how do we give unto the Lord His due today in our American society? Remember back in 1 Kings 17 when Elijah came to the widow with her son and said, give me to eat a little cake. The woman says, we only have enough oil and enough meal left to make a cake for me and my son. And when that's done, then we're going to die. They were in a time of famine. I can't imagine Elijah saying to her, but because he knew the provision of God, he said, make for me first and give it to me, and your oil won't last. And you know, throughout that year of famine, the oil didn't cease in that little thing. The meal that was there, they made the cakes, didn't cease. Only God can do that. You know, but it's a... So she had to do it by faith. We need to determine in ourselves. We need to determine what does the Lord desire, and then to by faith we give to Him first. You know, one of the principles that the Israelites had was they brought their first fruits to the Lord. That means the first thing they brought in out of the field there was that was given to the Lord. They gave to the Lord first. But giving is to be a giving thankfully to the Lord in worship. It's to be a part of our worship. As we prepare our tithes and offerings for the Lord, it should be willingly with a heart of thankful worship. It's not about the material. To us, the material becomes very important. But it involves our taking from ourselves as part of our worship. What does God need? He doesn't need any of it. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need the things that we have. You know what it says in Psalm 50? He says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It is not about what God needs. It comes down to what we need. It comes down to what we need. You know, I think about David. David at a time, this was at a time when he had sinned, and numbering the people, and going against the Lord, and he would not take the gift of another man that for him to make his sacrifice. Listen to what David said. He says here unto the man he was going to buy the field from him, he says, "No, I will verily buy it for a full price." This man wanted to give it to him. "For I will not take that which is thine own, which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offering without cost." He knew it had to be from him. He knew God wanted him to take from that which he had, instead of just, it's just a part of that. I think of Paul's admonition to the Galatians. He says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You see, it's about our heart's worship. It's about what comes from a willing, worshipful thanksgiving. The Pharisees gave of their tithes. The Pharisees gave of their various things. But in Luke, the Lord speaks to them. He says, "Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You see, the Lord said to the Pharisees, "Oh, you're giving tithe." He says, "You're leaving out." They were really leaving out the heart. There was giving out of duty, giving out of what people can see, but it wasn't coming from the heart. And that's why Paul said in our giving, don't give grudgingly or because you have to. God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't need our tithes. He doesn't need our offerings. He doesn't need your thank offering. But we need it. As we worship our God and we recognize His worth, we recognize who He is, and we recognize what He's done, that's why we speak of the terms of tithes and offerings. It's something that that's in giving in that sense. It's not just giving God His due. It's part of my worship to the Lord. It's our thankful devotion to God. It's a heart's demonstration of thanks and faith. The amount is of no significance to God. Like with the widow's mite. This woman gave almost nothing. But the Lord said, she gave tremendously. That's why when your child comes and puts a little bit, maybe to us it would seem insignificant, but it's the heart of a child that wants to give unto God. Of course, my folks taught me the first dollar I ever made that, hey, 10 cents of that, that's the Lord's due. You give that to the Lord. But I remember as a child, in fact, this was still back in the, we were still back in the Methodist church, so I must have been, I don't know, five, something like that. Somehow I'd earned a dollar. But, you know, I always, at that time, I put, that offering plate was passed, and I put the whole dollar in. And boy, did I get it for, what? You put the dollar in? And you know, at that particular time, it just seemed like, I finally have something I can give to the Lord. But that was a heart of a desiring to honor the Lord. You see, it's the mount isn't of significance. It's he said of these that gave, he says, you gave out of your abundance. And so what they gave there at the time and they're putting in it, it really wasn't much in the Lord's eyes. You see, it isn't a dollar amount. It's the heart of worship, of thankfulness to God for what He has done and what we have in Him. It's that our ability that is of significance. Our worship is that in faith in Him. How could that widow with her son give that to Elijah? It had to come from faith in the Lord. It had to come in faith that this was a man of God, that what he said was would take place. Our worship is faith in Him. He is to be first in our lives, and we give in faith to Him as we demonstrate that He is first in our lives. You know, as I think throughout the Old Testament, I think of how all of the things that they gave, I mean, they had thank offerings that they gave. There was in their worship of the Lord, it involved a giving in their giving first unto the Lord. Their firstborn, the firstborn male. Just reading through some of that in the Old Testament, there, if it was a man child, that it was there was special. Offering to redeem that, if it was the first of one of the animals that was born, it was the first that was actually sacrificed and given to the Lord. Worship involves giving of ourselves. It's not doing something because we have to. It's not doing something because this is a requirement. As Paul said to us in the New Testament, purpose in your heart, not grudgingly of necessity, but cheerfully in a thankfulness of our worship unto God. You know, I remember a story that I heard that a long time ago, and you probably heard it as well, about the little boy that when the offering plate was passed, he had nothing to put in, and he felt so bad, he asked the man to to put the plate down on the floor. And the little boy got in the plate and stood on it. People looked, what is that? He wanted to give himself. I don't have anything to give, but I can give myself. The Lord wants us, He wants our hearts. I can't verify that particular story. I've heard it for years, whether it took place. It certainly is an illustration of what we can give ourselves. It isn't just about monetarily, not talking about money necessarily. It can be our time. It can be what we do for the Lord. But the Lord's work is carried out by the Lord's people. And God blesses His work as His people give. That's why we need to give of ourselves. And we need, in thankfulness to our Lord, to give. And I've often talked and told people, we have an assembly of believers that give. We thank the Lord for that. How do we support with a small congregation, a full-time pastor? How do we support the number of missionaries that we have out there? How do we look at even taking on someone to come and to train under Pastor Howard with whatever amount? It comes by God's people giving, recognizing they need to give unto God. And as we give unto the Lord, then the Lord blesses that. I thank the Lord for us, as I've talked to others that have maybe congregations larger than ours, but they can't afford a full-time pastor. He has to work and labor. He doesn't have the time to prepare the messages and such. But we thank the Lord for what He has done and given to us here in our assembly. At the same time, we need to look and evaluate and recognize that worship of the Lord, when we give willingly of our time, of our talents, of our substance, it is part of our worship, our thankful worship of our God. We have a heritage of thankful forefathers. As I said, thanks to God is an attitude of the heart that is continually fostered in the believer. It is that which is to be there at all times, in all situations, understanding that all things come from God. We give thanks to Him for all things, knowing that He's always good, even in the midst of trials and problems. Let us demonstrate to Him our thanks by at least giving to Him His due. And then let us see what we can add to it. Let us give thanks to God by our worship. A complete giving of ourselves over to God. Come ye thankful people, come. Come ye thankful people, come. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your abundant grace on our behalf. Lord, help us to never forget the blessings that we have in you. Lord, that we will worship you from our hearts as we come and give unto you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.